like a miracle.
Phil Hendry.
Hello? Okay. 1-800-449-8686. 5201-KFI and 1-800-5201-KFI. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to Carell and Andrew about San Francisco, because they were on again about San Francisco, talking about how wonderful that town is. You know, let's not go overboard about San Francisco. If we can at all help it, I'd appreciate it. It's fun, like once every 4 years. San Francisco is about a once every 4 year trip. Because if you were really honest with yourself, if you were really, truly honest with yourself, you'd say and you'd realize and recognize that San Francisco, there's nothing to do up there. After you've been to Chinatown and did your big wine run to Tiburon and you got drunk in Sausalito and you went to the Castro and the Fillmore and the Mission and the Hill and the Tower and the Pole and the thing and the this and the bridge, and you go over to the East Bay, which looks a little bit like Orange County, and then you come back and you know, all the what is there to do? Nothing. And the only reason why I say that is because we have to spend a night there Monday, and I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get overwhelmed. I don't want to get overwhelmed with the beauty that is San Francisco. I don't want to get knocked out, man, by how just boss it is up there. Because San Francisco was important about 100 years ago. And then a little thing happened called the movie industry. Los Angeles blew past it, just blew the doors right off that town. And since then, the only really important city on the West Coast has been L.A. And San Francisco hasn't been able to stand it. They can't stand the fact that Los Angeles is an important city. And San Francisco, for the most part, a little bit of a backwater. Nice people, sort of. I can't even say the people up there are nice, can you? San Franciscans, I don't know what happened to them. They used to be fairly freewheeling. It used to be a kind of a bawdy place, a lot of nonsense, a lot of fun. But now you can't get away with spitting on a sidewalk up there. Everybody's got an agenda. I'll never forget, I had an L.A. Times, and I was trying to give it away to a bum. I think it was in, I think it was Union Square. Whatever that square is, it's across from the St. Francis Hotel. Is that Union Square? Hey, Mike, get a load of this. I tried to give a bum who was sleeping in the park and asked me if I could have my paper when I was done with it. And it was an L.A. Times, and I said, here you go, Mr. Bum, here's my paper. And he goes, oh, L.A. Times, forget it. He threw it in the garbage. Because he would only read the Chronicle or the whatever the other rag is they got up there, the Examiner. The bum sleeping on a park bench threw my L.A. Times in the garbage when I offered it to him. Because that's how provincial those people are up there. So while, yes, I will enjoy my stay at the lovely hotel that we're going to be at there on Nob Hill, I wouldn't go to San Francisco on a bet, other than the fact that I'm going Monday night with my wife. I don't like it. I don't like their radio. I don't like their town. It's overrated. You've been to Ghirardelli Square and gotten your freaking chocolate. I don't know how many times. When I got to go back and get more chocolate. I got enough chocolate from Ghirardelli, thank you. Yes, I got my sourdough bread. Yes, I went to the wharf about a half a dozen million times and saw the lobster in the thing and got the clam chowder, and I can't get into Alioto's as usual. Pier 39, uh-huh. Let's take the boat under the bridge. Oh, yeah. Let's take the ferry. Oh, excuse me, I said ferry. Well, there you go, man. Now I'm going to get my ass fried. As soon as I get up there, if I was working up there, I'd be fired by now. Over to Sausalito, did that, Alcatraz, rode the friggin' BART. Which, by the way, the Atlanta MARTA is far superior to the San Francisco BART, but as long as we're not on the network yet. And the entire, you know, it's just, I live in Los Angeles. I like L.A. This is my hometown. This is a damn good town. I don't see anything that they got in San Francisco that we ain't got down here. And I get a little tired of that attitude, which is this sort of, you know, the beautiful woman that you're in love with and she won't love you back. Well, guess what? I ain't in love with that town. I never have been. I was sort of enchanted for a while there when I was in my youth with North Beach and the whole Kerouac thing. You know, I would go up to City Lights and hang around. Drink any number of bottles of wine there sitting up from the Keystone Corner. I go down and watch Elvin Bishop or whatever the crap it was on Stockton Street. And after about five trips up there, I said, okay, what else? Is there anything else to do? Well, not really. And, yeah, I went to the bed and breakfast there on Bush Street, and we went over to the Moroccan joint, which was over on Pine or something, and I've read, yeah, the cable car, okay. When the guy, you know, you think you're going to freaking go right through the side of somebody's house in that cable car. Those clowns, with the way they break that thing. You ever been on a cable car, Mike? okay, the guys are grabbing levers and pulling switches and pulling a thing, and you'd swear to God, man, you're going to go sailing right off those tracks, right through somebody's window, right through someone's bedroom window. Did that, and then when you're done, it takes about 6 trips to San Francisco. Do yourself a favor. Just cram them all into 1 year. Just take all 6 of your trips to San Francisco in 1 year, and you'll never have to go back. And you won't have to listen to them about how crappy our city, L.A., is. And you won't have to listen about how wonderful it is up there, even though you're looking around and going, you know, this ain't so hot. It's cold. It's foggy. It sucks. And the other thing that I hate about that town is everybody says it's a walking town, which means I got to walk. I hate walking. And I go up there with my wife. Oh, let's walk. Let's not.
Phil Hendry Show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Phil Hendry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. So we were talking about the Backstreet Boys. The news here is that they are getting... Two of them are getting married, the Backstreet Boys. This is a group that, I remember my daughter is very much into the Spice Girls, but I don't think she's picked up on the Backstreet Boys as quickly. My daughter's not into the Backstreet Boys. My wife is, and I am. But my 8-year-old daughter, they suck. Spice Girls rule, Backstreet Boys, no. Okay, let's go to Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. I was calling up about the Backstreet Boys because the news story about them that was that they're all gonna, the two of them gonna get married, and I thought I'd call up and talk to you about two of these folks getting married because I don't think that it's true, and it's not what I think is that the Backstreet Boys is not gonna get married to a girl.
Yeah, the Backstreet Boys are not getting married to girls.
No, sir. I was on the phone with a friend of mine who lives in Britain, and all the people in Britain are not buying of Backstreet Boys getting married to girls. The people in Britain can't believe that all Americans are not, you know, understand.
I don't get where you're going, sir. The people in Britain what?
Well, the people back in Britain cannot believe that all the Americans all buy this Backstreet Boys are getting married to girls.
The people in Britain can't believe that the Backstreet Boys are getting married to girls. So who do they think they're marrying, guys?
Well, they're going to get married to each other, right? The two that are going to be married are all going to marry each other.
And the two that are going to get married are marrying each other because they're what?
Because they don't want to be gay. It's just they're all gay. It's all about gay. And the fact that the Backstreet Boys is gay and they're Ponzi... And poofed it.
And that. So this is what the people in Britain. Are you from Britain, sir?
Right, I'm originally from Birmingham, England, and also from London. But I come to the United States, it's probably about 16, 17 years ago. They're working for different bands, and all the different rock and roll groups that I work for.
And so you worked for rock and roll groups.
That's right. That's right.
What makes you think that the Backstreet Boys are poofters, as you call them? And I don't understand. When you say that everybody in Britain thinks that they're... What do you mean by that, okay?
No, it's right. It's like this. The Backstreet Boys call themselves the Backstreet Boys because it's all common knowledge that they're gay. And that the two Backstreet Boys... says they're going to get married because they're gay to marry each other, right?
And they're going to marry each other. The news is that they're marrying two women.
That's a front. I think that's something they do as a front, right? So that the people don't right away think that they're all gay, that they can think they're also straight, and also good for their daughters and their oldest sons to go to a concert, right? So American female audience doesn't run away from them and go, oh, they're all gay, go away, I don't want to buy no records no more because they're all gay.
Well, what? Well, okay, so the word is that they're gay. Why are they gay? Again, because if it's common knowledge in Britain, are we talking about a music magazine or something that?
Well, it's the name of the group. It's the name of the group.
The Backstreet Boys.
Right. What could be more obvious? Could be more obvious to you that this group is called the Backstreet Boys. They might as well call themselves the back up the back area boys or the back door boys. You see what I mean?
Well, wait a second. I mean, are you trying to tell me this is code or something?
Well, why would they call themselves that? All the groups that are called boy are all gay. The Pet Shop Boys are gay. The Boy George, all the boy this, the boy that, it's all gay. It's a gay reference. The Beach Boys, it's a gay reference.
And well, the Beach Boys were not gay. They were straight, okay?
It's not in the papers. It's not common knowledge back then because it's all the 60s. Everything was all proper, right? But it's not common knowledge, but the Beach Boys was gay. The Backstreet Boys is gay too. They were all clean-cut gay, but they were gay nonetheless. So all the boy bands.
And you're getting the fact that they're gay.
So it's just common knowledge in Britain because we all understand all the different kinds of code. It's what you call symbolism. You know what I mean by symbolism? You know what?
Yes, sir, I know what you mean by symbolism. So Backstreet is symbolic of...
That's right, it's of the gay Backstreet. It's like, because they're not going to come out call themselves the Butt Pirate Boys, or they're not going to call themselves the Turd Burglars, or then.
Okay, I understand that, all right.
But they're not going to do that. It's not going to say hello, and now everyone is called the Turd Burglars, and they all come out on stage, pouncing and prancing about, like a bunch of poncy bastards. Or they're not going to say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Hershey Highway Boys. They're all up.
Okay, I understand. So the tip-off that Americans are not getting, but everybody in Britain understands this, is that they're called the Backstreet Boys.
Well, the Backstreet Boys is like calling yourself the Dirty Pete's Lake Boys, or the, what you want to say about the El Camino de Chocolate, or something like that, right? Right, mate? So it's all up.
What do you mean, the El Camino de Chocolate?
No, it's what you call it. Right?
Well, you know, it's fine with me. I don't care. I think they do some very interesting music. I think that they're
right. Well, it's nice music, but I think it's not right for them to stand up there and say, oh well, you know, hello everyone, we're the Backstreet Boys. All the girls come rushing up on a stage, and they're all, oh, we love the Backstreet Boys. We want to be a part of you, and they won't come out and say, well, you bloody hell, it's why we call ourselves Backstreet. Are you bitches so stupid you don't understand why we call ourselves Backstreet? It's because we're gay. Because of the whole backside. And they're not going to call...
I got it, okay? So they're not called the Backside Boys.
Well, you could call yourself the Backside Boys, but it gives it dead away. You should call it Backstreet Boys. There's a little bit there you could play with. Okay, that's all I'm saying. But in Britain, we see America is so thick, they're so bloody stupid, they're not going to see immediately what the story is. See what I'm saying?
And what is your name, pal?
Hey?
What is your name?
I feel they call me Little Ian Anderson. I used to be a roadie. I worked with different groups. I worked at different promoters over the years. I came from Birmingham, England. Now I live in California. And I'm always very interested in music. Always interested in what's going on at all the different groups.
The Backside Boys.
Right. It's true.
And this is what's going on in Britain right now.
It's true. It's right. It's going on in Britain right now, all over Britain. How bloody stupid the Americans are that they don't pick up on the symbolism of the Backstreet Boys. A lot of that.
And all right, hold the line there, Little Ian. The Backside Boys. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686. How do we get into Backstreet Boys? Because we were talking about the fact that two have announced marriages, their engagement, I should say. Little Ian Anderson, who is not related. You're not related to Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull, right?
Yeah, it's, I'm not related to Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. They always ask me a question about that. I'm not at all related to that Ponzi bastard who's always walking around on a one leg with a flute. Right.
Walking around on one leg with a flute.
No, he's Ian Anderson was of a group called Jethro Tull, right?
Yeah, I know that. You're not him. Just so we'd know.
No, I'm not him. No, I will not be him. I will not want to be him.
I got you. Don't want to be Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. I'm just so that he doesn't sue me. Okay.
No, that's right.
Okay. All right. So you're claiming that the two Backstreet Boys got engaged to each other.
That's right. They got engaged to each other because the Backstreet is a gay, right? He's not straight. He's gay. They could have called themselves Backside Boy or Turd Burglar, or they could have just called themselves Richard Gere.
But they could have just called the band Richard Gere, huh?
That's right. Like, you've got Jethro Tull, you've got Uriah Heep, you've got Santana. You should have a band called Richard Gere. A bunch of poncy bastards floating around all over the stage singing all the gay stuff.
All right. Very funny. But you're serious, right?
I'm serious. Backstreet, I'm serious.
Here is Pico Rivera on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi. So what is your name? What's your name, ma'am? What is your name?
Huh?
What's your name?
Tatiana.
Tatiana, this is Little Ian.
Oh, hello, Tatiana. I'm Little Ian. How are you doing?
Hi. Okay, first off, I'd like to say that about the name.
Did you hear about the Backstreet Boys getting married or getting engaged?
Yeah, I heard that.
Right.
Okay, there's no possible way they can get married to each other. They're cousins.
That doesn't matter. The two that are getting engaged are cousins.
Yeah. No. See, you understand that in America you can't get married to family, right?
Right. But the two that are getting engaged, are they cousins to each other?
Oh yeah, they're cousins to each other.
Were they from the South?
Are they from what?
Are they from the South?
They're from Kentucky.
What do you mean, are they from the South?
They're from the Kentucky?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do down there.
I doubt that.
No. In the American South, it's all right for you to marry your sister or to marry your aunt or something like that, right?
No, I don't know. Just in the American South, it's okay to marry your sister? No. It's
Well, they do it down there. So it's all right for the Backstreet Boys to marry each other, even if they're cousins.
No, I don't think they'd want to.
Katiana, what was your point? You were going to say that there was a reason why they're called Backstreet?
Their name,
it's gay.
Has nothing to do with being gay.
It's gay.
Their name was chosen from, because at the time they had no name, and they decided to name it, because there is a Backstreet Market in Florida, and they decided to, you know, They took their name from that.
No, it's rubbish. It's rubbish because, Katiana, if you think about it, why would they call themselves Backstreet Boy? You know it's Backstreet Boy, right?
Yes.
Right? You know it's all about the backside, right? Right?
No.
No, it's right?
No.
It's all about the bum boys is what they call themselves.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Love a bum boy.
No.
They're not first cousins, they're third or fourth cousins,
no,
too.
They're cousins. They have the same grandparents.
Why are you so convinced, Little Ian, that this is a gay thing?
Because that's all they talk about in Britain. And in Britain, they got a magazine called the Music Express. And we've got all these different music magazines, and we talk about all kinds of different music. And the people in Britain are all very much aware of this. We laugh at the Americans because they don't know.
Yeah, but why would you believe something like that when you see tabloids everywhere? I mean,
because they want the American.
There's tabloids about, you know, somebody picking his nose.
If they were gay, and you knew they were gay, you wouldn't want to buy no of their records no more, or go to their concerts no more.
Actually, I still would. I think personally, it's
bollocks. You'd not want to go see a bunch of gay boys poofing around and poof doing around.
No, I don't think that's, you know.
So you're seeing, Little Ian, that they don't come out and say that they're gay because they'd lose Katiana and her friends.
What, they lose all these old American birds, all the young American birds. They'd not go out and see the shows.
Okay, Katiana, thank you very much.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. I can't believe we're even spending time discussing the Backside Boys or whatever the...
So it's all in Britain, Phil. If you talk to any of the people that are working at recording studios... And
they don't have any personal knowledge, though, of the sexual orientation of these guys.
No, but it's a common appellation. It's a common reference, a gay.
In Britain.
Right.
Okay, here is Greenville on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi,
ma'am.
I was just wondering, how are we so sure that this guy is not gay himself? I mean, how is he so convinced unless he knows?
Because, I don't go around calling myself Little Ian Backside or
but
Little
what is,
Ian
okay,
take,
okay,
it,
wait a
take it in the
You're
bum.
Saying that,
they
hold
call
on.
Themselves the Backstreet Boys.
Hold on a minute. You're saying that in Britain, okay, it's common
Little
knowledge.
Ian
everybody
Peter Puffer.
Thinks, right?
Everyone.
So what if, hold on, what if everybody listening to you right now thinks you're gay? How would that make you feel?
Well, it's nothing to, at least I'm not calling myself Little Ian Puffer or Little Ian Poofdo, but they call themselves the Backstreet Boys.
So it
That's
makes
a simple,
no difference.
It's symbolism. You've been to school. You've been
okay,
to American
if,
school, right?
Okay, hold on.
It's symbolism.
If
Backstreet.
The Backstreet Boys is a symbolism, what is Little Ian a symbolism of?
Well, what's Greenville symbolism of?
There are like a billion Greenvilles in the USA.
That's
okay?
Right, that's right, that's right. It's something about Greenville that could have to do with the color of your urine or the color...
Right.
Okay, man. I mean, you know, okay. We're getting way off the beaten path here. You called the show to simply say, oh, it's common knowledge in Britain that this is a, what do you call it, colloquialism for gay.
Jesus, Phil, all you have to do is look at the Backstreet Boys. What do you think that's about? Why do they call themselves Backstreet?
Well, the girl said that they call themselves the Backstreet Boys because of some...
Oh, right. Some market in Florida that they reminded... Backstreet Boy sends a message, like a Morse code message, out to all the gay boys that don't worry about all the girls because we're the gay boy, too. We're solid... What do you call it? A solidarity?
Solidarity.
Solidarity with all the other gay boys. And that's what it's all about. And the reason why the two cousins can marry each other is because it's in the South.
Okay.
Well, this lady's calling from the South. You're going to have to disabuse yourself if you...
Is that like masturbation?
No. disabuse yourself of the notion that Southerners marry each other. Okay, they probably do more intermarrying in families in California than anywhere. And I've seen the statistics.
I was going to ask you if you have the statistics on that.
Yes, I do.
Could I... Get
okay,
a copy
well,
of that.
Sure, I'll be happy
California,
to mail it to you.
And they are pretty darn stupid out there.
They
right?
appeal to two markets, gay and straight girls. There's two markets that they go after, the gay and the straight.
The Backstreet Boys.
Right, all the
right.
gay girls, and all the gay girls
right.
want to get the money, all the straight
okay.
girls want to get laid, and the straight girls think they'll get laid, but you're not going to get laid by the Backstreet Boys because they're taking it up the poop chute. And
okay, pal, that's as far as I want to go with this guy. I'm awfully sorry, ma'am. You must be a fan, right?
Well, I like their songs. I'm not a big fan.
Why don't they just call themselves Richard Gere?
Oh, no, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, I am, too. He's tremendous.
Yeah, and I think it's his wife. He's pregnant. She's pregnant.
Which,
so, I mean,
who? His wife?
Richard Gere's wife.
What's her name?
Pregnant.
What's her name?
I have no idea what her
is
name
it,
is.
Is it one of the guys in the Backstreet? Never mind. Okay.
No.
All right. See, that's bad bumper music. You know why? Now everybody wants to hear the song. They don't want to hear me with my big fat mouth. That's Give Me All Your Lovin', ZZ Top. That's a very well-known song. Bad bumper music lesson number one. You don't use hits. You don't use top tracks. No big AOR tracks. No hits. No hits. You never use no hits. Bumper music rule number one. Never no hits. Because when you played a hit, the guy says, oh, Jesus, ZZ Top, man, my favorite. And here comes Henry.
Hi, it's a Phil Hendry show.
And they go, oh, a big mouth talk show host. You never play no hits. I'm saying that with great love and respect in my heart, Craig, okay? You do a great job. You know I respect what you do. But I'm giving you a tip that the rest of these schmucks don't know yet. You don't play no hits, no hit bumper music. That way, the guy goes, well, it's nice music, but it's not exactly like I want to hear this crap. Let's hear what the guy's got to say. You play that. I was listening to a show one night, I forget who it was, but the guy started off with, I was listening to Art Bell. And he started playing Just Like Romeo and Juliet by The Reflections, which happens to be a song that I like. And then his big fat mouth came in over top of it. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast, and I'm like, shut up! Or that ABBA crap that he plays, you know? Oh, Christ, I love it. I can't get enough of it. And then on top of that, he starts to start with his big fat mouth. You know how that, ooh, and then comes, to call Art Bell, just, and you want to take a gun and do bad things with it. Not to other people, maybe to yourself. Maybe just shoot your foot or wound yourself, you know. So that's why we don't do that. All right, where am I? Oh. I don't know if you've heard, but Charles Schulz is dead. I don't know if you caught the, it was about a 16-story high ad in the New York Times from MetLife saying, Charles Schulz, we're sorry you got. Did you catch that? It was a little tough, I know. I don't know if you've caught the 86 million different full-page ads in Newsweek, Time Magazine, People Magazine, the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, with the big, big, bold, black letters that say, goodbye, Charles Schulz, we'll miss you. I don't know if you caught that at all, because it was pretty tough to see. You should have had your glasses on. I don't know if you saw the sad-looking Snoopy dog. Did you see that? Really? Holy Jesus, how'd you see that? It was only in 15,000 different newspapers the last 2 days. How could you possibly have seen? You gotta be kidding me! Because I had no idea! Anyway, in all seriousness, are sorry to see a great man, and yes, a very funny man go. Now, coming up Tuesday night on CBS it'll be an after-school special. It Burns When I Pee, Charlie Brown. Now, that'll be on at 3:30. And I got to tell you something, I'm going to watch this because it's a terrific, terrific thing. There's a series of the Charles Schulz tributes that are going to be going on, and I know that if you guys aren't looking careful enough, you're going to miss them. Because they're only in full-color, 16 different page ads. Now, coming up Friday night on NBC, Read My Lips, Bestiality is Illegal, Charlie Brown. Now, that's going to be at 5:30. I believe it's on NBC. Then coming up on Saturday, more special Saturday morning special, Linus, Get Up Off of Schroeder, Charlie Brown. Another really great one. I previewed this the other night with Melissa. We thought it was great. Who's that black kid in the later episodes, Charlie Brown? Did you see Lucy and Peppermint Patty, Forbidden Love, Charlie Brown? Oh, you didn't see that? Oh, Jesus. And then, of course, Everyone Hates Me, I'm Gonna Get My Dad's Gun, Charlie Brown. That's another great... So, all of those are going to be... What? I'm in the middle of a bit. I can't... I'm in the middle of a bit. Hello? David Hall is with us. Yes, David. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right. What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yeah, was I on the air?
No.
All right. Okay, very nice little, very angry material about Charles Schulz. What's that about?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, what's it about taking a man like Charles Schulz and dragging his name through the mud?
I wasn't dragging his name. We were in the middle of the bit with the...
I heard all the Peanuts music, and I heard the It Burns When I Pee, Charlie Brown. What seems to be wrong with you? You know, so let me explain something.
Wait a minute, David. I don't think...
No, let me explain something to you. Are you aware of the fact that the Congress of the United States of America is going to honor this man, for Christ's sake? Are you aware of the fact...
David, I...
No, let me just finish. Are you aware of the fact that the President of the United States of America stopped in the middle of his day to honor this man, Charles Schulz? Are you aware of any of these things?
I am aware of it, okay.
Then why are you on the air tonight talking about Charles Schulz in a disparaging, smart-ass way with "It Burns When I Pee" Charlie Brown? Why would you do that?
I was trying to make a point.
Yeah, I'm listening. You were trying to make a point about what?
I was trying to make a point.
What was the purpose? What was the impetus? What was the theme of that bit? Lucy and Peppermint Patty, forbidden love. What in the name of Jesus Christ is that supposed to mean? This is a man who brought joy to the lives of millions of people around the world. This is a man who brought joy to the lives of millions of Americans, children, adults, teens, our seniors. And you come on my radio station and say, "Peppermint Patty and Lucy, Forbidden Love, Charlie Brown." What was the point?
The point... The point was, I thought that there was some overkill on the tributes to Charles Schulz.
You thought there was overkill on the what?
I thought there was overkill on the tributes to Charles Schulz.
And so you decided to bring bestiality into a Charles Schulz bit.
Well, what I said was...
No, I heard what you said because I wrote it down. Read my lips, bestiality is illegal, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, but that was the name.
No, I know. It was the name of an after-school special. You were satirizing the Charlie Brown specials. Is that it? You know something, Phil? We don't generally discuss bestiality on the radio. You understand that, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
And I suppose you meant Charlie and Snoopy. Is that who you're talking about? Answer me, is that...
Yes, sir, that was what I was talking about, yeah.
I think that you hit a new low. I think you owe the audience an apology.
David, can I say something?
What? What?
I'm always, when you call, it's embarrassing enough for me to have to talk about this on the air in front of my listeners.
Phil, I am embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for you, but I've got to do it, because if I don't, then the material continues throughout the evening, and I can't have that. I'm disappointed in you more than anything else.
All right, but...
What?
It's embarrassing enough for me to be talking to you about it. Do I have to apologize? I've apologized...
What?
I've apologized so many times for so many things...
Because you screw up a lot. You apologize a lot for a lot of things. Now you come on the air, and you take the name of Charles Schulz and some beloved cartoon characters... You intertwine bestiality, homosexuality, a reference to the Columbine thing, which I did not find funny at all.
I didn't reference Columbine.
Well, what was the line, "Everybody hates me, I'm going to kill him, Charlie Brown"?
Just violence in America, I mean.
That was the Columbine thing, wasn't it?
No, sir, it was just violence in America I was referencing, okay?
The reason why we watch Charlie Brown specials, and the reason why Charles Schulz was so beloved was because he was an escape from all of that stuff. So there's no satirical value in dragging his name into those things because he was not a part of it. Or are you saying, along with all these other smart-ass comics that I listen to, that if it wasn't for Charles Schulz, we wouldn't have violence because he makes us escape reality and he makes us escape dealing with these problems? Is that what you're saying?
What?
You heard me. Are you saying that Charles... Oh, forget it. The Peanuts kids don't get the clap. Do you understand? Burning When I Pee, Charlie Brown.
Okay, all right. I understand what you're saying. And maybe you're...
Reprimanding you on the air, Phil, is the only way for me to get this into your hard, thick skull.
Embarrassing me, huh?
That's correct, sir. And you brought it on yourself.
I heard a guy the other time on another radio station making fun of...
I don't care what you heard on other radio stations. It burns when I pee Charlie Brown. Did you think it was funny?
At the time I did, I guess I don't anymore.
You're goddamn right you don't anymore. I'm going to tell you something, Phil. You got talent, but you're walking the fine edge here with me. Now, I'm going to have to field all these phone calls tomorrow or on Monday or whenever it is these people start calling. Thank God it's Friday night. And maybe they'll forget about it. But Tuesday morning, if I got to field phone calls from a lot of old people and a lot of these people that are bitching and moaning every second of the day about your Charlie Brown material.
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm very sorry that you're going to have to go through that.
Thank you for ruining my three-day weekend, Phil. Thank you very, very much.
I'm sorry.
I'm not looking forward to apologizing to these people. I am not looking forward, Phil, to apologizing to a bunch of animal activists, homosexuals, senior citizens.
I understand and I know, but it's your job, so...
Yeah, it's my job. Thank you for just making it tougher. I want an apology and then go to your break.
I'm sorry?
I want an apology, then I want you to go to the break.
I want to,
I'm listening.
I want to apologize to my manager, Mr. Hall, and I want to apologize to all of the people listening. I'm sorry that we did the Charlie Brown and Peanuts material. And I do respect and honor what Charles Schulz has brought to our country and to our culture. Please forgive me. I was only doing it in the best of, with the best of intentions.
Do it better.
I beg your pardon?
Do it better.
Do the apology?
Yeah, do the apology better. I don't like it.
I really want to say that I am very, very sorry to all of my listeners because...
Better.
I really, really sincerely feel bad, and I love Snoopy.
Don't cry.
I really feel bad at...
Don't sound so happy.
Oh, will you come on?
Just do it better.
All right, I'm sorry that I did the stuff about Charles Schulz and Charlie Brown. I love Snoopy. I'll never do it again.
Good. Is that it?
No, this is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Great.
Days when you could go into a store and actually find someone to help you? Well, I know a place where you can still find a great selection and personal service, and guess what? It's on the internet. At buyitnow.com, you'll find everything you're shopping for at a great price. Buyitnow.com has name brand electronics, sporting goods, housewares, tools, toys, gifts, even hard to find items. And buyitnow.com has something else that's hard to find these days. People. That's right, people to help you on the internet. Buyitnow.com's personal shopping assistants are real people there to answer your questions and help you find just what you need. And right now, buyitnow.com is giving you an exclusive discount offer just for listening to my show. Just go to buyitnow.com and click on the coupon button. Type in my name, Phil, that's P-H-I-L, and you'll automatically receive 10% off your first purchase. Great selection, personal shopping assistance, and 10% off. What are you waiting for? Don't just buy it. Buy it now. Buyitnow.com, where the difference is people. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall, who is the Vice President of Syndication for our program, has joined us. And I have done, I've been in this business for almost 27 years. And regrettably this evening, ladies and gentlemen, I brought to our program some material that may have been offensive to some of you. Mr. Hall is joining us this evening to try to undo whatever damage that we did.
And, Phil, I just want to say to your listeners, I like you. I don't want people to think that I don't like you. But I think you have questionable taste with a lot of your material. And hot on the heels of the death of Charles Schulz, for you to come on the air and satirize the after-school specials that were so very much a part of America and a lot of kids' lives.
Yes, sir, I understand.
I take some phone calls because I want to talk to these. You say there's people who want to talk to me?
Yes, sir, there's a couple.
Oh, Jesus. All right, take however many there are. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to Charlotte on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Great, ma'am.
I cannot believe this moron is the boss of anybody. He is the most ignorant, inarticulate person I have
ever heard on the radio. You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. And you know what? If you don't have a sense of humor, maybe you shouldn't be listening to your own radio.
Charles Schulz died, and I think we should have some respect for a man who, I'm sitting
here. People died. That's why it's called a joke.
Do you want me to joke about it? And how about when your mother or your father dies? You want me to make a joke about it 2 days later?
If you have no sense of humor, you shouldn't be listening to the radio.
So I should be at your mother or your father's funeral.
Call up and have a person publicly apologize for something that a lot of people thought was quite funny.
Tell her, Mr.
It's idiotic.
I don't think that saying, ma'am.
You are a moron.
Ma'am, well, then you're a moron, okay?
Whatever.
Why don't you blow it out your ass? If you don't like what we're doing on this.
All right, now, why is it.
I can't believe that you have any part. You're like really Barney Fife in it.
Hey, lady.
Yeah.
Charles Schulz has family.
You
have family. Am I going to make jokes about your death to your family after you're gone?
Make jokes about
and that's okay with you?
That's
and that's okay with you?
Know.
Oh, you're full of crap.
Well, wait a minute.
No, you really are. You're full of
anal and uptight. I think you need an enema.
It hurts when I pee, Charlie Brown. That's funny,
I bet
huh?
It hurts when you pee. I bet it hurts when you do a lot of things.
I can make it hurt when you crap. So,
oh, God, David.
Well, did you hear what she just said?
You are completely anal.
Lady, the only one that's anal is you because you've been talking about anal for the last 5 minutes that you've been on the air.
I think that you'll find when you listen to a couple of the people that call in that you're way outnumbered, that
I'm
people
not,
think you're ridiculous.
I don't care. I've never followed the crowd. My name is David G. Hall. I don't follow the crowd.
You know what?
I create trends.
I bet the people who advertise on your radio station
I'll tell you this much.
Mr.
Schulz. Mr. Schultz's family has influence. We cannot make We cannot make fun of this man's death.
Where did you take your management lessons?
Lady, do you manage anybody? Who do you manage?
Yes, I do manage. I have a staff of 32.
32 what?
I never, ever reprimand them in front of people or have them grovel on the air like you did.
Lady,
that is ridiculous.
Mr. Schulz's family has influence, and if we are to piss them off, it can hurt my business.
So you're basically an ass-kisser.
So you want to piss off Charles Schulz's family? You go right ahead. I'm not going to piss him off.
You're right. You're an ass-kisser.
I'm an ass-kisser. Well, I bet you appreciate.
Now I have to deal with all these. It's your job.
Lady, since you're a manager, I bet you appreciate a little ass-kissing in your business too. 32 different lips on your ass. So what are you talking to me about the fact that I didn't?
Can I just jump in here?
Sure.
What?
Can I jump in?
No.
Sure.
No, he may not. You screwed this evening up, Phil, to begin with. I'm
you
taking over.
Up.
And this big mouth from hang up on her. She's giving me a pain. You're the only person you don't have to piss off. You know, the only person you don't have to piss off is Ronald McDonald.
You know what?
That's the only person that you don't have to piss off, lady.
But a few people are going to call in and say that you are way out of line, Barney Fife.
Hey, what are you getting for a fillet of fish these days?
It is not even your job to police the universe and every joke on the radio.
Yes, it is. I'm the vice president of syndication for this show, and I will not have an influential family like Mr. Schulz's family demeaned the way Mr. Henry did 2 days after the man's funeral. And if you have family, you'd appreciate that. But something tells me you don't.
All right. I mean,
hang up on her. Hang up on her.
Everybody thinks he's a moron.
Okay, fine. You got the last word. I'm a moron.
Let's see what happens.
No, let's not.
So can I? Okay, so you're gonna take some more calls and find out what more.
No, we're not taking any more calls.
No, I wouldn't think that.
David,
you would.
Shut up, Phil.
You're only gonna get more of the same.
No, I'm not.
Phil, take more.
No,
calls.
I'm not. No,
take
I'm not.
More calls. Everybody's on your side, Phil.
Hey, lady, remember, you want fries with that? You want fries with that? Keep working on that line. You want fries with that? That's it. That a girl.
Calls.
Hang up on her, Phil.
Are you done?
Hang up on her.
I'm finished, Phil. know.
All right. I mean,
when I tell you to hang up on somebody, you better hop to it. Hey, is that lady? I hung up on. If you're still listening, which I know you are, lady, you want a hot apple pie with that? You want a hot apple pie with that? You want a hot apple pie? Keep working on that, okay?
Did she say she worked at McDonald's?
I don't know if she said she worked at McDonald's. I'm making a joke about it, okay? Jesus.
I don't know. She said she had 32 people under her.
So she likes to climb on top. The point...
David, what you're saying right there is inappropriate, okay? What you're...
Leave the skills of dealing with the audience to me, okay? Regular extra crispy, regular extra crispy. You keep working on that, baby. What time is it?
I got to go to a break. That's the music.
Okay, go to the break.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.